Let's pray. Father God, as we come at this moment, to this time, to look into your word, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you'll guide and direct our thoughts. Lord, that my words will not necessarily be mine, but they will be from you. And Lord, that our ears will be open to what your Holy Spirit has for us this evening, that we will glean from the scriptures and the truth. And Lord, that we can apply it to our hearts and our lives, and that you, through your grace and mercy and power and indwelling work in us from your Holy Spirit, will transform us to be more like Jesus. So we thank you for this time that we get to look into your word. So, Father, we come with expectant hearts. We come with listening ears. So speak that we may hear and respond in faith. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we've been studying together on Sunday evenings through the book, the little letter of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we've been looking together at Peter's writing this letter to believers that were spread all throughout the dispersion area. They were chosen, elect. They were followers of Christ. They were in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and they were spread out. They were dealing with so many issues, and Peter was writing them this letter, and he was, again, just communicating to them. He says, based on the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience of Jesus Christ, with the sprinkling of his blood. There we have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says to them, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. His opening remarks, traditional writing of letters, but it was from his heart, I believe, that he was expressing to the believers that he wanted grace and peace to be multiplied among them as they were traveling their life on that road, so to speak. And he goes on and says in verse 3 that we are blessed. We're blessed by God, and we should bless God the Father because he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he caused us, in verse 3, to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And how should our response be? He says, well, in this you rejoice, verse 6. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow. And that should just encourage us in our relationship with the Lord, that there is this inheritance waiting for each of us, and our faith is being tested here on earth, but it's more precious than gold. It's more precious than gold. And as we go through our testings, it's to result in the praise and the honor and the glory of Jesus. Well, this evening we are at verses 8 and 9. And I would entitle this verses Invisible Faith. Peter goes on and writes, he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Wow. Invisible faith. I don't know if you've seen lately, if you're more into movies, you might have seen the Fantastic Four, and that is a Marvel comics, and there are four heroes, and one of them is the Invisible Woman. She has the superpower, and she can become invisible and do great things. Years ago, back in 1930s, there was a movie that came out, then later became a little bit of a television series. You might have remembered it, called The Invisible Man. And it was a horror film in one sense, where this individual was wrapped up, and this doctor, he was doing scientific experiments, and basically, as the story goes, an accident happened. He became invisible. So if he took off all his clothes, can we say that on Sunday night service? If he took off all his clothes, he would be naked, but you wouldn't see him because he was invisible. And so the plot thickened as this individual went around, and later, you know, first he did pranks and so forth, and then later he committed murder or so on. Invisible. What, you know, sometimes we may say in conversations, oh, I wish I was that little fly on the wall so I could have heard what was taking place, you know, in that conversation. And maybe we don't want to be that way. But there is something positive that Peter points out that we even read about in Hebrews about this faith that is not seen. If you Google famous sayings by celebrities, if I get it right, Tom Hanks has said that believing is seeing and believing is not seeing, kind of both sides of the coin. The writer of Hebrews again says faith. What is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Peter comes here and he says, though you have not seen him, you've not seen him, the conviction of things not seen. So he's writing to these believers, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and you rejoice with joy that is what? Inexpressible and filled with glory. And what does that do? It obtains, you're obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So in this invisible, this unseen faith, I believe Peter is telling these children of God, let me share with you how precious this faith is. This, as verse 7, that's been tested, how genuine it is, though it results in the praise and the glory and honor of Christ. Let me share with you. It says, first of all, in verse 8, though you have not seen him. Invisible faith produces love. Though you have not seen him, you love him. You love him. We're not supposed to ask questions on sermons, but have you physically seen Jesus Christ physically? No, we haven't, have we? We weren't there with Peter, and we weren't there with John. We weren't there when Jesus called the disciples. Jesus said to hey, I saw you, Nathan, coming. And man, he said, Nathaniel said, man, if you must be the Messiah if you saw me. And he said, well, blessed are those who believe and yet still do not see. We even see that a little bit later on. One commentator says this, faith is directed toward Jesus Christ and it produces love and it produces joy in Christians. Without seeing Jesus, either because they were second generation believers or because they were geographically removed, Peter's readers have come to love Jesus because they believe he loved them enough to die for them. Christians do not rejoice with inexpressible joy because of sufferings, but because of the glorious expectation of their future with Christ. We love him because of the word of God being revealed. As it says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because someone took the time to share the good news of Jesus with us, whether we heard it in church from a sermon, whether we heard it from a missionary, whether we heard it from a neighbor, whether we heard it from our parents. However the gospel was shared to us, the good news came to us. We heard it with our ears, and then God moved in us this leap of faith. We discovered that we are loved by the Creator. It takes faith to believe that there is a Creator. God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Word of God tells us this. We know that the Word is true, but we have to embrace it by faith. Peter's saying, you have not seen Jesus. I was with Jesus. I was an eyewitness. Just like John, we beheld his glory, the one and only. We were with Jesus, but you were not with Jesus yet. You love him. You love him. And for those of us who've come to faith in Christ, who know him as our Lord and Savior, we can say, yes, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, because we know that he loves us and we love him. And we're looking forward to that day. Aren't you looking forward to that day when you'll see him face to face? Oh, that will be so wonderful. It'll be so glorious. And he'll say, welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. You love him, even though you have not seen him. It takes faith. Faith. Secondly, he says that invisible faith not only produces love, but it also produces belief. It produces belief. Though you do not see him now, you don't see him now, you believe in him. You believe in him. You believe in him. Billy Graham was being interviewed by that TV commentator, King, and as he was, Billy Graham said this. He says, the more older that I get in the faith, the more I do not know. But the one thing I do know is that Jesus is my Savior, the Son of God. Billy believed in Christ. Believed in Christ. We pick on Thomas because he's known as what? Doubting Thomas. And in John chapter 20, verses 25 through 29, we see that Jesus has risen again. The disciples say, Thomas, man, we've seen him. And Thomas, he responds. How does he respond? Well, verse 25 says, so the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Wow. Unless he might have been from Missouri. I don't know. Okay, but 8 days later, verse 26 says this, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them, and although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Wow. Jesus goes on a little earlier than that in John chapter 17. And what does he pray? He prays for his disciples, what they're going to go through. But guess what? He prays for all believers. He says in verse 6 of John 17, he says, I've manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is true. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Wow. I in them, and you in me, and they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus, in the high priestly prayer, took time in that intimate moment with his Father, and he prayed for you. He prayed for you. For those who have not seeing me now, in that sense, as Peter says, yet they believed. He prayed for you. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed, Jesus said. Faith, invisible faith, unseen faith, produces belief. Oh, Lord, that you would increase our faith and make it grow. Thirdly, we see here, invisible faith produces joy. It says here again in verse 8, though you do not now see him, you rejoice with joy. That is inexpressible joy. That is joy filled with glory. You rejoice with joy, exceeding joy. There were those in this time of year that we celebrate Christmas, we think about, there were some who rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They were the wise men. In Matthew chapter 2, it says in verse 9, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star and that they had seen when it rose went up before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, Matthew 2:10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The wise men who traveled afar, their hearts were filled exceedingly with great joy. They had not seen the child yet, but they saw the star. They had not seen the child, but they saw the star, and they believed, and they received what they saw, and they were filled with joy. What did that joy produce? It produced in them this desire to seek the Savior. It produced in them the desire to fall down before Him when they found Him and worshiped Him. It desired in them the ability to give the Savior, Jesus, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were filled exceedingly with great joy. Though you do not now see Him, you rejoice with joy. Peter was saying to these believers, you are rejoicing in joy. It's inexpressible. It's filled with glory. It's reflecting upon Christ. Maybe it's causing them to worship Him more. Maybe it's causing them to give more. Maybe it's causing them to seek Christ more. The joy of the Lord is the strength of His people. Are you rejoicing with joy in your Savior? Verse 9, the joy that they are having is producing in them something. Salvation, verse 9. Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In other words, even though I don't see Him, I love Him. Even though I don't see Him, I believe in Him. Even though I don't see Him, I'm filled with inexpressible joy. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Why? Because Christ in me, the hope of glory, Christ is working in me. I'm being led by the Lord and He's working in me. Verse 9, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What a gift. What a gift. You can probably think about what's the greatest gift you've ever been given. When you're unwrapping presents under the tree, is it that favorite tie that you've been given? Or is it that box of chocolate that you know you're not supposed to eat, but you do it anyway? What is that favorite gift? There's no better gift than the gift of Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. And He wants to do a new thing in your life and in your heart. You come to Him by faith, by believing in Him, asking Him to take up the residency in your life. His Holy Spirit comes in and He begins that good work in you. And when you see Him face to face in glory, you will obtain the salvation of your souls. One commentator wrote this: once Peter had mentioned our position before God, he follows the pattern of some of Paul's letters, pours out thanksgiving to God of these blessings. They are so great that we can pass joyfully through times of testing, holding by faith to a Christ we have not seen. Such faith is the road to a full and final salvation. Peter gives reasons for praising God. As we've said earlier in verse 3, he has given us new birth, what Jesus spoke of in John chapter 3. The motive for this is His great mercy. The result is a living hope. The new life is one of hope. The means of this hope is the resurrection of Jesus. The tomb, hallelujah, is empty. The object of this hope is an inheritance. This inheritance cannot be destroyed by hostile elements, cannot be defiled by pollution from outside, and cannot fade by wasting from within. It has been kept in heaven for us. We are being shielded, garrisoned for it by the very power of God. The means by which we are shielded is faith, by which we hold on to the promises of God. And the final goal is a salvation which God will reveal in the last time when Jesus is revealed. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful gift from God. Salvation. To enter into the relationship with the Creator God through faith in His Son, being forgiven of our sins, past, present, and future, being cleansed, being filled with His Holy Spirit, abiding in His presence, walking with Him daily, communing with Him, learning to glean from the Word, learning to listen to His Spirit speak to us from His Holy Word, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. What a privilege! Even though this faith is, in a sense, invisible, yet it is powerful because God is producing that good work in your life. So what does it mean then for us? What is God's word saying? How does it apply? What is your faith like? Do you have to see it to believe it like Thomas? Or can you believe without seeing? Do you love Christ whether or not you've actually seen Him, but yet you've read about Him, you've learned of Him, you've seen His Spirit work in the lives of other brothers and sisters in the Lord, and you know that Christ is alive, and you believe. You love Him because you've discovered how much He has loved you. Even while we are sinners, Christ died on the cross. God gave Him to be that gift of eternal life for you and for me, so that we can be reconciled with the Father. Does your faith in Jesus cause you joy? And if not, why not? Oh, that we would be people filled with inexpressible joy. Joy that is filled with glory because of the great things that God has done through Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You, Lord, for those who believe on Your name, even as Your word says, we haven't seen You physically. Sometimes, Lord, if we confess, we would like to be one of those disciples there with You, enjoying Your physical presence, listening to You tell parables on the mountain, listen to You preach, watching You do the miracles. Lord, what a wonderful privilege it was for those disciples to see You even walk on water. See You call forth Lazarus from the tomb. Raise the dead to life. And yet, Lord, in Your sovereignty and mercy, for such a time as this, You've allowed us the privilege to believe that we haven't really physically seen You, yet we know that You are alive. Hallelujah. We know that Your word is true, and we know that You're coming again, and we thank You. Lord, we thank You that You love us. We thank You that You've blessed us with the gift of salvation. And we thank You for that hope that is ours, a living hope because of the resurrection power of Christ, and that Your Spirit resides in us, and we all have the resurrection power of Christ. So, Lord, may You fill us, even like You did those wise men, that You will fill us with that inexpressible joy for Your glory and honor, especially during this week, this season, And may we celebrate you all the more. And may we share your truth to those around us, to those who haven't yet fallen in love with you. May you give the gift of salvation to those individuals who need you. And we'll thank you and praise you in your precious holy name. Amen.